It's been more than a month now since we've talked about the experiment on Gay Street, closing down the 400 block to vehicles and creating this pedestrian zone. I think last time we talked about it, it was early November. We were gearing up for Thanksgiving, and now we are full swing in the holiday season. And this experiment just wrapped up over the weekend. And since we talked about it last, we've actually had the chance to go out there ourselves and get a feel for what this is like and what it could possibly look like if it's something that becomes permanent downtown. But if that is going to happen, there are some things I think the city needs to consider, some things that, you know, I looked into from other cities that could make this experiment something that has a little more legs to it, something that can last a little bit longer and really begin to shape the future of downtown. I think it has that potential, but it's not quite there yet. And so that's what we're going to talk about here today on the podcast. Maybe you saw it for yourself. I hope you did and would love to hear your thoughts. To share her thoughts today on the podcast with me, I'm joined by
Brianna Pachorka, photojournalist at Knox News and producer of The Scrappy Stuff.
And I am Ryan Willis, downtown reporter at Knox News and your host on this fine episode this week. And I think we should just start out by saying, yeah, the first night I went down to Open Streets, it was not exactly what I expected. And if you keep up on my stories over at knoxnews.com, you might have read what I wrote about Open Streets. And my lead was, essentially, I felt like I was in an above ground pool. And what I mean by that is, it sounds great. You want to go for a swim? Sure. All right, here's an above ground pool. Okay, what do you do once you're in there? You kind of walk around a little bit, maybe, you know, look at each other's feet under the water. I mean, there's not really much to do. Cool concept, but it just needed a little bit something more. The streets were empty. Now, granted, it was kind of rainy out that night. When I came back the following night and on following weekends, there was a little bit more activity going on. And I think, you know, Brianna, you and I were down there recently. Was that the first time that you experienced it?
Yeah, it was my first time. And honestly, it was kind of shocking in a way. We had gone to Sutcherie's and I had parked at the State Street Garage. And I just remember walking out onto the street from that pedestrian bridge and just being like, holy crap, where is everyone? Like, I've never seen Gay Street that dead, or at least not since the beginning of the pandemic. So it was kind of jarring to see so few people out there.
Yeah, see, that's one of the things that, you know, I talked about in this story is that, you know, as much as we want pedestrians to be able to enjoy, you know, the city without any sort of speed bumps, just be able to enjoy it freely, there is something about vehicles that honestly does add some vibrancy to a city. And that's one of the first things I noticed. If you, you know, take the vehicles off the street, you're really banking on people to, you know, go down there and enjoy it. Otherwise, if they don't, there's no vehicles and there's no people. That's, you know, that's something that's even more of a turnoff for somebody who might consider going down there. Now you've created essentially, you know, we talked a lot about the 100 block of Gay Street over the years being an empty tooth, right? Or a missing tooth, I should say. You look at that block from the rest of Gay Street and you're like, there's nothing really pulling me down there. The same thing now. If you're coming from the south and you hit that 400 block right there by the Embassy Suites and you look down there, it looks like there's nothing for you there.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm just thinking, if I was a tourist, somebody who's never been to Knoxville before, like, if that's my first impression of downtown Knoxville, I would think downtown Knoxville is boring. Nobody goes to it. You know, like, I don't think it really left a good impression. It didn't leave a good impression on me, you know, so.
Yeah, I, on the flip side, I guess, you know, if you're in a vehicle, and, you know, we experienced it as somebody who knows downtown Knoxville. Now, if you are a tourist, perhaps, and you're coming in from the south, and you hit this roadblock, and you see this sign that says, enjoy this pedestrian-free zone, and now there's traffic that's turning on and going down towards a State Street garage, and, you know, does that, I mean, maybe that signals to you that, oh, there must be something big going on down here for the street to be closed, so maybe I go down there and explore? Maybe not. I don't know. I mean, I could see both sides of that, but from my experience, like, actually looking at it and looking at people, which, by the way, it was really funny to see people, even though the street was open, still like going shoulder to shoulder down the sidewalk. Like, it didn't feel quite right. It didn't feel like you were able to walk out in the street, which was funny to me. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. I could see both sides of it. But the times that I was down there, it really did seem like it was more dead than it usually would be.
And, you know, I said this when we talked about this on the podcast, you know, a month ago. They needed to do something with the space. They needed to activate it. They needed to bring, you know, something to that space that would bring people out there, which is, you know, I kind of wonder why they chose November and December for this. Like, I think it would have been better to do it during the spring or summer months, or maybe not even do it on a, you know, weekend night. I feel like it might have brought more people out on, say, a Saturday morning when they do the farmer's market, like, because they already have Union Avenue closed for that. Why not just extend the farmer's market out on, you know, Saturdays out onto Gay Street? I think that would have brought more people out there and really gave people a taste of what pedestrian only corridor on Gay Street could be like.
And, you know, here's the thing. I mean, this is a pilot program essentially by the city. And so, you know, any criticism I'm giving right now, it's not necessarily criticism at the city. It's criticism in the concept as it was presented by the city, right? And part of the reason the city just sort of presented it is because they wanted to see what works and what doesn't. And so this is not like this is, if this was to become something permanent, it's not like this is the final form of it, right? But what you were saying about activating the space, that's not just you saying that. I looked into sort of expert studies on what makes these pedestrian plazas or these pedestrian zones, you know, successful. And that is one of the key things. It's like you must activate the space with something to do. And, you know, it was cool to see cornhole boards and stuff be brought outside. I believe Sutry's even brought out a foosball table at one point in the street. And as much as I'm all about, like, oh, yeah, open streets, like a free zone to do what you want. And I'm not typically one of the, you know, one of those people that says, oh, you know, let's control this even more. But I think it needed to have some sort of control or oversight over it. You don't just want people bringing their random things out into the street. And, you know, some businesses do, some businesses don't. At the end of the day, like, I guess, you know, if that's how the system's going to work, I'm sure businesses will want to one-up each other. And if they don't bring something out, I guess that's, hey, that's their fault. But if this is something that, it, you know, the city's trying to do to promote the greater business community, I think there is more that the city could do to promote the larger business community by, you know, whatever it is. I mean, even just the concept of, you know, allowing a couple food trucks on the street or a couple vendor booths like they do, you know, farmer's market or the old city market, even something like that, something that signals this is not just an empty street. This is a street you can walk on with a few things to do and, you know, come on down here and try it out.
Yeah, I think showing people the possibilities of what could be done with the space would get people more interested in, like, looking at it and having more of an opinion. Because, like, if you're just seeing it empty, like how we did on those nights, it's hard to get excited about it becoming a possible permanent thing.
And going back to what you said about, you know, November, December, why does this make sense? Again, flip side of it, right? Like we talked about, you know, you could look at it a couple different ways. You could say, hey, why are we doing this in November, December? It's cold and there's nobody out. Or you could say, hey, let's do this in November, December because it's cold and there's nobody out. And we want to, you know, I think, you know, everybody knows that December and, you know, when it's cold outside is slower times for businesses. People are wanting to be inside and warm. And so anything you could do to help businesses that are struggling during the colder months, maybe that's why you try it. But again, you can try that, but I don't think that's what you should base your decision on whether or not to continue it on, because again, like the summer months, I'm sure a lot of people will want to be out even more and can enjoy that open street and, you know, possibly enjoy that open street with open container, which I think is something else that, you know, I wrote about it in my story. And part of the reason I wrote about it is not just because this is some idea I have. It's not. It's an idea that was first presented by Scott West over on Market Square, and that got shut down. And then when this happened and you create another pedestrian zone, you know, again, not just me saying it, there's been, you know, the downtown business community, people I've talked to are all kind of, I say whispering. I think nobody really wants to talk about it, but everybody's thinking about it, right? That, you know, perhaps this could lead to something like an open container that you see in, I always go back to Mobile, Alabama, because I've been there and actually experienced it there. And it was a really cool system the way that they had it. But being able to walk out in the street with a drink, that's another thing that's so weird about it. In addition to people just walking down the sidewalk when they could walk down the street, it is weird to see no cars, no anything that could cause any sort of safety issues on the street because they're wide open, but people still being limited to having a drink on the patio that is practically on the street already. It's the same criticism you hear of people saying, why don't we have open container on Market Square? We're already on the patios. We're already practically on the sidewalk. Why not let us do this too? And so the flip side of that as well, why do you need to? Everything is sort of close to each other. You know, finish your drink before you go. Why do you need to? Just to create more active space. I mean, if I'm able to take my drink somewhere, I will walk out into the street. The street won't look as dead. It won't look like just an open street with people drinking on patios down it and people walking down sidewalks on a wide open street. Even if it doesn't make that much sense to you, why do I need to take my drink onto the street? Well, because that's more people that are in the street now. And now you're starting to activate the space and create a new energy in that space.
Yeah. I mean, like if you decided to go to like Babalu one night and there's a wait, like 30, 45 minutes, an hour, you could get a drink at the bar and then go wait outside on the street. Like instead of just being like, okay, well, I don't want to wait, I'm going to go somewhere else. Like you're just kind of giving people, you know, a chance to utilize space and give a restaurant more business. I don't know. I'm not a drinker, but like I see the possibilities with Open Container here that could help.
You businesses. Are from Louisiana, though.
I mean, yeah, I am. I am from Southern Louisiana. So, but
and that's another thing too. You got Fat Tuesday on the block, which I think is another reason people start thinking like, oh, is this Open Container
you
thing?
Don't
perhaps
drink daiquiris at the daiquiri shop. You bring them home with you. You know. So
additionally, I mean, the Open Container concept, and there's an entire story I read about this over at Knox News when the city sort of put the lid on it. I looked at some other cities that had done it and how they've done it effectively. It's a money generator, too. I mean, one of the most popular systems is, you know, if you're taking a drink to go, it is served in a special cup. That special cup comes with a cost. You know, maybe it's an extra dollar. And that way you keep your eye on it when people are walking around green cups. I think that's the color it is in Mobile, maybe. You know that there's alcohol in it. And I think you get to take the cup with you. Like you get to buy the cup, and then it's an extra dollar for the drink that, you know, goes into whatever you want it to go into. So there's that concept. Again, that's something people are talking about. Is it going to happen? I don't know. To play the flip side of everything, which I feel like has been a theme here, because it is, you know, it could go either way. Perhaps this signals that Open Container is a possibility on Gay Street. But on the other side of it, like we have a place already that is pedestrian only with no cars where Open Container has already been suggested that did not happen. You know, I am of the belief that, you know, I went down there. I don't know if you saw it. I wasn't really paying attention when we were out the other night. But the previous week when I went out, I saw people bring alcohol out into the streets because it feels like you can, especially when there's an empty street right there. And, you know, I imagine that's going to continue happening. At that point, I think it's a lot easier for the city to look back and say, hey, there's a problem. People are drinking in the streets with this new pedestrian experiment that we're having. Let's figure out a way to fix that, maybe through an Open Container. Than it is for the city to say, hey, let's do Open Container. That comes with a lot more pressure for the idea coming from the city. And so, you know, we'll see what happens with that. The other big thing people are talking about is car noise, which is you hear both sides of that as well. You hear people say, this is a neighborhood. People live here that shouldn't be so loud. And then you hear other people who say, well, you chose to live there. If you wanted to, you know, if you don't like smelly, if you don't like your place where you live to be smelly, don't live near a farm. If you don't like your place to be noisy, don't live downtown. So part of what's being talked about is, you know, can this experiment help at all with some of the excessive noise that we've heard downtown? And it sounds like the city's trying to get another one of those noise cameras long term to be able to capture that and whether or not, you know, experiments like this are working. So anyways, going back to just the concept of open Gay Street, though, we talked about some of the negatives. I don't want to be all negative. What were some of the positives that you saw out there?
I'm not going to lie, like when we were at Sutcheries that Friday night, we were sitting in the window, it was kind of funny for people watching. I don't know if you were there at the time, but there was a couple who had just come from Cruz Farm, and the guy with his ice cream just laid out on his back on, you know, the solid yellow lines in the middle of Gay Street and just ate his ice cream like that. And that's kind of, you know, it was funny, and you're not going to see that on a night that there's cars on it. So people watching is a little bit more interesting from that. I kind of like that part of it.
As a photographer, I think we talked about this before on the episode when we were talking about the JFG sign and how, you know, the JFG sign should be somewhere you could get a good photo of it. Tennessee Theater Marquee, that's something we've talked about before, is like hard to capture a photo of. What do you think about that aspect of it?
It is a little bit easier to take photos. It's nice. I mean, as somebody who has stood in many streets to take photos, like it is nice to know that there's an opportunity to take a photo of Gay Street where you don't have to worry about getting hit by some giant truck, you know,
right,
trying to go down Gay Street.
Yeah. And, you know, talking with the city, I asked, you know, sort of what's next. And, you know, obviously they're going to be looking at how this went and whether or not they want to continue it and whether or not they would want to continue it somewhere else. And I think, you know, there are some areas where an open street concept could work that come to mind immediately for me. One of those is Central Street in the Old City.
Yep.
Another place that's kind of like, you know, it's a thoroughfare, Central Street is. It's, you know, just the way Gay Street is. But, you know, just as you can on Gay Street, you know, go down Wall or go down Union and work your way around that block. Same thing can happen on Central Street, although with the stadium, it's a little bit different right now because of the construction. But, you know, that section of Central Street between Willow, which is kind of where Fin 2 is, and Jackson, which is where Jig and Reel and Hannah's is, that's the party block. And that's something that, you know, came up in reporting on my story, is that the time frame in which these pedestrian experiments have been happening on gay streets sound like they're targeted more towards the going out crowd than the people that are shopping. And that's another reason I think people have started thinking about Open Container, because I believe it's like 7 p.m. to 4 a.m. or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of those places that are have shopping or ice cream closed down at, you know, 8 or 9. Everything after that, from 10 to 11 to 12 to 1 to 2 to 3 to 4, is your going out weekend crowd. This experiment was on the weekends, and so it seems like that's who it's trying to benefit. I mean, they did talk a lot about public safety and not having to worry about vehicles as well. That block of Central Street's the same thing for me. I mean, that is the party block, and that is a block that's already social by nature. I mean, there's a lot of people that are, you know, it's a college crowd for the most part after a certain time down there, especially at Southbound and Hannah's. But you see a lot of you go down there on a Friday, Saturday night, you see a lot of people on their phones, like, where are you? You know, trying to meet up with groups of friends, crossing the street, running in front of cars, trying to, you know, get to their friends on the other side. Yeah, something like this could help with that.
Yeah, I'd argue that that strip of road is probably as busy as Gay Street during those targeted times. Because, I mean, when you think about it, the Old City kind of stays awake longer during the weekend. Whereas if you go to Gay Street at, say, 11:30 at night on a Friday or Saturday, it's kind of dying down, you
oh,
know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think those hours that they put on the Gay Street thing fit a lot better with the Old City.
Right. Yeah. And again, like I think about it more from a safety thing, because like there, I mean, as a driver going through there, I mean,
it's kind of, you know, yeah. A lot of anxiety, you know, you might run over somebody.
Yeah. And especially if people are drinking more down there, you know, their decision making might not be the best. And so, I mean, I think that's something that addresses a lot. It addresses the safety aspect if you were to do it there. It addresses what needs to happen on Gay Street, which is more of a social aspect. I think that would come with it naturally. If you're going to do it on Gay Street, again, like we talked about, there needs to be some sort of activation. But yeah, I mean, there, I've heard it talked about. I've heard people suggest, I should say, just a couple people that have said the same thing. And it's not a crazy idea to do it on Depot, Mill and Mine. You know, they had like the punk rock flea market over there where they had some booths set up on that street. You talk about the food hall being a place that has struggled with foot traffic and getting people in. So you got a music venue there. You have a street that's not really used that much. You have condos, so there's people that are already down there, and you have a food hall. I mean, that place makes a lot of sense. But Gay Street, man, if they can do it, do it. I mean, I know while we think Gay Street is busy, one of the interesting things that I did find in my reporting was that there's this cool new software from Visit Knoxville that looks at, that uses AI and machine learning to determine traffic counts for pedestrians particularly, and it doesn't account for people who live in that area or people who work in that area. It kind of sees how long your phone stays in one spot, and it's able to determine who pedestrians are. Kind of creepy, maybe.
I
don't know.
I was about to say, it sounds a little big brothery.
Yeah, but right. You know, whatever. It gives you some good info. As a journalist, I liked it. And, you know, it's actually crazy. I can actually pull up the numbers here. You think about Gay Street being like the main street in downtown. You think it has, you know, probably, I would assume like the most amount of people go down Gay Street, maybe even more than Market Square. I don't know. But when you look at the actual numbers using this software, Market Square from January to October had 794,000 visitors, roughly. Gay Street, between the 400 and 700 blocks. So we're not just talking about that one block. We're talking about that whole stretch. Only 538,000. So we're talking 794 on Market Square versus 538,000 on Gay Street. Point of that being is like, one, like, don't assume, which I think is always a good thing, that, like, you know, Gay Street is really popping, because compared to Market Square, it's not. Again, this is just accounting for pedestrian numbers. So, of course, Market Square is a pedestrian area. All this to say, like, you know, Gay Street maybe does need a little bit more help. And talking with business owners, they were like, yeah, we compete every day with Market Square. And you wouldn't think it'd be like two totally different, you know, mindsets of people. Like, I'm either going to Gay Street or Market Square, but it kind of is like that. Even though they're right next to each other, they're competing for people's attention and people's time and people's business. And so, again, I think that's part of the reason the city was experimenting with this, is just to, you know, not only just bring some new energy to the area, but also to support some of the businesses in the area as well. And so, whether you are a business in the area or the owner of a business in the area, I should say, or somebody who just enjoys visiting downtown Knoxville, somebody who lives downtown Knoxville, whoever you are, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the, I'm just calling it the open street concept on Gay Street, and what you liked about it, what you didn't like about it, what you would like to see if this was something that became something more permanent. Reach out to me in between episodes. You can always find me on Instagram at Knox Scruff. You can also follow all my work over at knoxnews.com or send me an email at ryan.wilusz@knoxnews.com. And we keep saying Knox News. That's because the scruffy stuff is brought to you by Knox News. So head on over to subscribe.knoxnews.com to check out our latest offers and support local journalism today. A subscription will get you unlimited access to all of my downtown coverage, all of our Knoxville coverage, East Tennessee stories about everything from politics to growth and development to sports and schools and everything you could possibly want to know. If you'd like to keep up with even more things happening around downtown, please check out the podcast description. We have a link to both the Urban Knoxville Facebook group and the Urban Knoxville newsletter. Both are free. And to make sure you are up to date with all things scruffy stuff, go ahead and hit that like or subscribe button on whatever platform you're listening on. That way you get a notification every time a new episode drops, or just come back here on Tuesdays. And before you sign off, if you would, leave us a review, 5 stars. Tell us what you love about the show,
please,
and what you would like to hear us talk about next. And speaking of next, we'll be back again next week, as always, here on Tuesdays, the Scruffy Stuff. Always appreciate you listening, and we're excited to talk to you soon.
Stay scruffy.